You know, I was cutting up with you a while ago. Okay, Revelation chapter 18, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 18, but not tonight. We're just going to be looking at 2 points of a 4-point sermon. And I think I got 4 points. Did I put that up there? Okay, yeah. And tonight we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8, and we'll finish tomorrow. This is heavy stuff, and it'll be more than we can process. Babylon has fallen. Last week we looked at chapter 17 about religious Babylon being destroyed, the harlot church headed up by the false prophet, the final one world religion that hates God to be destroyed. And tonight we're going to see in chapter 18 that the destruction of commercial or political Babylon headed up with the globalism comes out of Babylon, right? Babylon began in Genesis with Nimrod, and the world system, the god of this world system is who, church? Satan, yeah. And now see, she's been away this morning. She comes back and answers the first question. Where are y'all at? Okay. And so the god of this world is Satan. In our text tonight, the angel announces the destruction of the world system that hates God. So I want to share with you 4 aspects of this judgment. Tonight we're going to look at the first 4. And everybody understand that what you see and hear in the political and commercial system that hates God will diminish and be destroyed right here in chapter 18. So you won't have to worry about no politicians no more, unless they know Christ. And so first thing we see here in verses 1 through 3 is that God's judgment is certain. We live in a world today that thinks God's absent-minded. He's got amnesia. He's got Alzheimer's. He's a dawdling grandfather that doesn't know what's going on, doesn't care, and can't do anything about it. But God will judge. His judgment is certain. Note verse 1, first of all. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having the great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. We see the agent of this announcement is none other than this angel that has great power. He illuminates the earth with his glory, reversing the darkness of the fifth bowl judgment. He repeats for emphasis, has fallen. He says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power and great earth and lightened with his glory. And it goes on to say, Babylon the Great, in verse 2, has fallen. Has fallen. And it has become the habitation of devils. And, you know, you can imagine after the rapture of the church, after the Holy Spirit's taken out and dwelling the church, he's not taken out. Spirit will still be here, but nobody can get saved without the Spirit. But the restraining power of the Holy Spirit will be lifted. And sin and demons released from the pit of hell, as we looked in Revelation, it's going to be a time on earth like it's never been. Every foul spirit, it says, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. All this is going to be released as we see the destruction of political Babylon here in this announcement. Babylon is evil and God is righteous in destroying it. People say, what kind of loving God would do this? A God who is righteous, right? A God who is holy. As we look in verse 2, we see that Babylon, as we talk about the awfulness of the announcement, Babylon is demonic. We see that in the latter part of verse 2. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It's demonic. And remember, Satan is a god, little g, of this world. A system that hates God, hates you, hates the church, hates the Word of God, hates the Holy Spirit, hates the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. It is the dwelling place of demons. Prison of every unclean and hateful bird, demonic forces at work in the, speaking of demonic forces at work in the apostate system, not only in the apostate church, but in the apostate system that hates God. Cage, notice that word cage and hold are the same Greek word which means prison. So after the rapture, the unleashing of demons will be prolific in the tribulation period. Notice in verse 3, Babylon is unfaithful. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Again, this is language speaking of metaphorically of their spiritual fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I don't know what's going to happen to America. The stock market may crash, and we may be a third world country, but the system, the material political system, economic system will not be destroyed here until chapter 18. God's people are to be separate from Babylon and her sins. You've heard sermons on preachers preach on somebody leaving the church and they say they went off into Babylon, or they have Babylonized them, if that's a word, right? And being in the world system, loving the world. In fact, we see this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, the world system. That we love creation, don't we? We love people. But the third Greek word for world is the system that God is Satan is the head of. Love not the world. That's the one he's talking about. Neither the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't say that. Jesus did. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And Satan still works the same way as he did in the Garden of Eden. That's repeated in Genesis 3. The lust of the flesh, he knows how to get us, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And his method has never changed. He dresses it up, disguises it a little bit, but he works the same way, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it says in verse 17, and the world passes away. That's why we don't love the world, because it's going to be destroyed. Passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there's going to be a separation here. But then notice also, as we look at this, we looked at God's judgment is certain. And then in verses 4 through 8, we've seen God's judgment is against sin. God will judge sin. We often say, why does God put up with this? Well, I'm glad he put up with it at least to 1962 when I got saved, right? Why does God put up with this? Well, there's coming a day when he will judge sin. Let's read verses 4 through 8 again. And I heard another voice from heaven say, come unto her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not her plagues. In other words, we don't love what the world loves. Can I say that again? We don't love what the world loves. We love God. Amen? And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I'm sorry. But that's what it says. We don't love what... I could care less about the award ceremony for Hollywood. I could care less about the halftime show at the Super Bowl. In fact, I care less about the Super Bowl. I could care less about the awards. I'm going to ask y'all to name some of those award shows, but that'll let me know you watch them, okay? But I could care less, about those things. I died to that when I got saved. I mean, I don't want to watch The Bachelorette, whatever that is, right? I just know it's ungodly, right? And that's not in me, right, anymore, right? Can you agree with that? All right, I see right now y'all watching it. I know you are. And so we see the separation of the appeal. Look at the substantiation of the appeal in verses 5 through 8. Notice that. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now, I don't know how ripe sin is going to get before the Lord judges, but that's up to him. And he says, reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which he hath filled, filled her double. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself. Boy, the world system loves to brag on herself, don't they? How much she hath glorified herself and lived it deliciously. Yeah, okay. And I had some of that this afternoon, chocolate in my oatmeal cookie that Amy cooked. But what verse was I in? So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Verse 8, Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. One day. Man has labored for all of history to accomplish this world system, and one day it will be destroyed. Not one day it'll be destroyed, but in one day it'll be destroyed. So he says here, her plagues shall come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. So we see God's remembrance in verse 5. And just like the Tower of Babel, her sins have reached heaven. God knows what's happening on earth. He cares and he loves and he will act one day. Again, many people believe God either does not know about evil. How could God let this happen? Right? You remember the classic response, 9/11? There's a God. Why did this happen? You remember what Billy Graham's daughter, what's her name, Wanda? Ann Lott, Graham Lott. What she said? God's still on his throne. And how come you only worry about God when something bad happens? You ever notice that? Where is God? We're just grateful he smote all of us and wiped us all out. He does care. He does love us. His plan must be fulfilled. And they say, well, he's unable to do anything about it. That's the great argument of the world. But the truth is, God is long-suffering and his judgment is inevitable and just. He has allowed evil to show his redemption. You need to remember that. Why is there evil in the world? Not because God created it, but he has allowed it to show his love, his grace, and his mercy, and his redemption. Right? Look at the contrast between evil and righteousness. We wouldn't know that unless God has allowed evil. Are you tracking with me tonight? And so we see God's remembrance. In verse 6, we see God's retribution. There's a payday that has come. People reap what they sow. More than they sow, later than they sow. And we do that. That's the principle of, I forgot the name of the principle, reciprocity or something like that. It's going to come back on you what you sow. And I'm not talking about investing and nothing like that. I'm talking about what you sow in your character, in your life. The principle of retribution that we see. Then we see God's retaliation in verses 7 and 8. This world system, metaphorically speaking, as a she, thinks she is a queen, but in reality, she's a widow. She has forsaken the Lord. Her destruction is in one day. One day. One day, everything that man has thought they have built will be destroyed in one day. And this is to be taken literally. It happened before in another Babylon by Darius in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1. Verses 3 through 5, and Daniel 5, verse 30. In one day, this judgment is going to happen. So God's judgment is certain. You need to take that to the bank. And God's judgment is against sin. Now, next week, we'll look at the last two points. God's judgment brings mourning. But then an unusual principle, God's judgment is to be praised. And we're going to look at that as we finish chapter 18 next week. No invitation tonight. We want to, I know y'all have, well, y'all don't have school tomorrow, do you? Okay, out. How many of you going to be off for Labor Day tomorrow? All right. I didn't raise my hand because preacher's off all the time, they say. But what we're going to do is we're going to dismiss our ladies to go do the ice. A few ladies, not all of you. All right, none of you men get up. This is for ladies only. All right. Were they in, Teresa, were they in the rapture? Okay. All right. Ben and Carol, I want you all to go into the fellowship hall last. I want you to go with me, okay? All right, and we're going to, in just a few moments, we're going to get everybody else to go and be in there and take you a seat, and then I'll bring the, what do we call them, Wanda? Huh? The honored guest, the guest of honor. And we'll take them. And Carol wanted me to print off the internet how to get to their new house in Palm Coast. So I printed it off, but I told Ben, I said, I printed a map for you to get to Palm Coast. I printed Carol to go to the Keys. So anyway, but anyway. Yeah. Keys? Yeah, I'm not going there. Yeah, you got to cross the big bridges, I understand. I ain't going to do that. The Jekyll Island Bridge is big enough for me. But who? Oh, okay.